my neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're going to do a talk show. Clap for yourselves. You're all beautiful people. Look at that positivity I'm trying to exude. It's very hard to be positive when you go outside and your glasses get foggy due to the heat. It's nothing new. We're in Chicago. It's summer. We're all miserable but very happy. We all have dehydration problems, sun problems. I love the fact that summer in Chicago means you will be meeting strangers when you drink at night. Not in bars, keep in mind. I agree with that, man. What the fuck? It's very interesting. No. You meet people on your stoop. It's like we're all in Brooklyn and it's the Cosby Show. We meet people on our stoops. We meet very interesting people on our stoops. On Friday night, I met a very interesting woman on a stoop. I will explain the story, but let me set the scene first. Here's the scene, everybody. I was at the Pitchfork Music Festival on Friday. I had a very, very fun time with my fiance and her sister, very delightful people. And after the festival, we're like, what should we do? Well, I know what we should do. We should see our dear friends, our best friends. So we went to our friends Max and Stacy's house, and they were so kind enough to let us stay with them. So we met up, and then we went to a bar, and the bar was full, so we left. And instead, we decided to drink on the stoop, because that's what you do when it's very hot outside and you don't want to wake the neighbors. You drink on the stoop. We start drinking on the stoop. We start playing catchphrase. You know that game catchphrase? I'll tell you about the game catchphrase. It's very simple. There's a phrase, you got to act it out. It's like charades, but it's in a blue little thing. It looks like a disc man. That's catchphrase. We start playing catchphrase. All of a sudden, a lovely lady caller maybe, we're not exactly sure, goes to the basement apartment. Stacy, very kind woman, whisper yells, "You're not the only one," insinuating that there are many lady callers that this gentleman has. 30 minutes into our catchphrase-a-palooza, we notice that the woman is still sitting outside. That's not right. It's summer. Oh, I forgot to mention, our lovely co-host and her lovely boyfriend were there. A friend of ours named Doug was also there. There's a lot of us. We're playing catchphrase. It's 7 people. We could add another. Let's add another. We added another, goddammit. Anita? Is her name Anita? We added Anita, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Anita. That's right, Anita. Anita is not from the United States. We're guessing a Korean origin for Anita. This is important to the story because catchphrase is a game that tests your knowledge of the English language. We were very polite to Anita. Doug was not so polite to Anita. Doug had a very, very easy catchphrase. It had to deal with facial hair. It had to deal with a type of mustache, something that you could describe with just a hand motion like I'm doing right now. But instead of actually acting it out, he kept saying everything but that name. So when he would give her the Discman catchphraser, she would have to say it out loud. That phrase, ladies and gentlemen, was Fu Manchu, and we all laughed quietly. It was delightful. 3 hours later, we're still playing this goddamn game of catchphrase. We all want to go to bed. Merle and John do the polite thing and leave at the correct time because they are pros and know how to drink. Doug does not, but that's okay because we know our friend Doug. My lovely fiance and her sister have left 2 hours prior. I know that because my girlfriend was watching a show on the Design Network via Hulu for the past 4 hours. 3 hours, I'm sorry, because it kept streaming. That's how streaming works, ladies and gentlemen. You get a lot of ads about tanning and such. Is that right? No, that's not right. Anyways, Stacy is a very kind soul and notices that Anita has started to cry. Exactly. Oh, that's the exact... Don't just yell Doug. Doug will fix or hurt this problem very soon. Stacy does what every kind Midwestern gal does and says, "Do you want to have a beer inside?" Guess what? Anita does want to have a beer inside. Anita comes upstairs. So does Doug. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic night. I start vigorously texting Doug, "Get the fuck out of here. Take her to a diner. You're not going to be able to do anything with all of these people. This is fucking weird. Take her to a diner." I looked up on the Yelp app I have. There's a diner 2 blocks away. It's 24/7. Go to that fucking diner. I look up another thing on the bar thing. There's a 4 a.m. 2 blocks away. You got another hour. Take her to the diner. No. Doug says no. Or Doug's really drunk and doesn't know how to retext at 4 a.m. 3 a.m., I apologize. I go to bed after a half an hour, and I feel awful because now Stacy is left dealing with future sadness and current sadness and just really wants to go to bed. She's at, what do? I go, I can't live in the past, so I don't know. This is a bad thing. What are we going to do? I decide, fuck it, I'm going to bed. I can't do anything. She's safe because there's a dog in the house, and dogs will prevent rape, I think. That's how my mind works. I'm not sure. I haven't tested the... Do fraternities have dogs? They should... No, they shouldn't have dogs. They have cats. Are you in... Did I offend peoples in fraternities? I apologize. You know what? I don't think you're in a fraternity because this is the only bar in the 10-mile radius that doesn't have a Michigan State flag outside, so I'm pretty sure we're safe on not offending fraternity members. But there's nothing wrong with fraternity members. I'm just jealous. I liked indie rock in college. I apologize. I wish I was in a fraternity. Man, I'd be a banker right now. Okay. I hear the door slam about 40 times. That's because of smokers. Thank God that there are smokers, because smokers prevent you from getting into this weird rape lull. They slam doors. Okay, what's going on? Thank God for smokers. I find out the following day that Doug and Anita were there till at least 5:30 when Max had to wake up and walk the dog. By the time Max came back with the dog, Doug was gone. So the moral of that story is always have someone that could scare your friends away within 10 feet of you, and Doug will leave. And it worked like a charm. I love Doug, by the way, and I hope... Well, he's not going to listen to it because almost everything he has always gets stolen, so I'm not really worried about him downloading this podcast. But Anita left the kindest note one can ever see. And it pretty much said, you saved my life. If it wasn't for you, I probably would have been murdered because the trains to Niles don't run at this hour. Here's $10 for the life-saving beers. I'll never be at this place again. Sad face. She drew out a sad face. If you want my number to hang out again, here it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of this show, we're going to give you Anita's number, and we're all going to be best friends. How? What do you say to that crowd? You want Anita's number? That's a bad idea. We're not going to do that. That's just mean. We are going to have a very, very, very fun show. This is the first time since the first show we've ever had that one of the members of the show is currently bartending. Esmeralda is not on a microphone right now because she's walking down the bar trying to find... What are you trying to find? Edmund Fitzgerald. Okay, it's in the cooler to your right. Right, there you go. Open it up. It's in the back right. You'll find it there. There you go. Edmund Fitzgerald. She's the bartender tonight. Please put your hands together for Esmeralda. Jeremy Tromberg's on piano. Please clap for Jeremy. Oh, you know what I liked about that? It was very subtle. You didn't go overboard. Good job. You knew when to rein it in. We have fantastic guests. We have journalist, film critic, author Rob Elder. Please put your hands together for Rob. We have stand-up comedy from Megan Gailey. Please put your hands together for Megan. How many shows have we done where you don't know how to do this? And closing in the evening will be Sad Brad Smith. Please put your hands together for Sad Brad Smith. I'm going to walk about 3 feet. Jeremy's going to play.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Very good, Jeremy. You're going to take the mic. You usually don't have a microphone. We usually just laugh at you. When I say we, I mean Esmeralda and I.
I think there's a reason for that.
Why is there a reason for that? You're a charming man.
Last time you had me on your show, you screamed and yelled at me and made fun of me.
I'm going to not do that tonight.
And I held my head in shame.
Did you really hold your head in shame?
I did.
Is it because I made fun of your hat?
Yes.
You're no longer wearing that hat. Maybe it worked.
And you said I told very boring stories, and then I should shut up.
Well, in the note of telling very boring stories, we have this book. It's called The Kids' Book of Questions, written by Gregory Stock, PhD, and it's one of the worst possible books you can ever use, and we've used it on the show for over 2 years now, and are finally retiring it. Tonight will be the last time we use The Kids' Book of Questions. We have five... Are you wooing or booing? You're booing. And a yay. There you go. That makes no sense. I don't know how to
write the Kids' Book of Questions too.
There actually is a sequel, and I'm not going to use that. I actually have, for the future shows, I have the Book of Questions Sex and Love.
Ooh.
Also by Gregory Stock, PhD. Just as bad.
For kids?
Not for kids. That's a very, very funny joke. Good job. No, I'm serious. It's a very funny joke.
See what I mean?
You're so very weird. Funny. You're the funniest man I've ever seen.
Of course.
Look at how he laughs at his own joke. Okay, I need you to pick a number between 208 and 235.
Wow.
Wow, really? They're numbers. 230. Doug just entered, everybody. Doug! Doug, we just told a story about you. Number 230. If a teacher really wanted to find out what you thought and felt, how could she best go about getting to know you?
He should feel me.
They should feel you. This is why you play the piano and don't usually have a mic. Merle, do you have any time to talk or are you busy bartending? Give her a minute. Jeremy, we have to fill a minute. What has been up with you? How's the bands going?
Let me see that question again. Can I answer 231 instead?
Yeah, no, you're done. How is Ragtones going? I like your band
Ragtones. Ragtones are doing excellent. We just had a very successful show at the Beat Kitchen.
We have
been launching our website, which is theragtones.com.
No, that's for you to keep. I've never actually heard the phrase, we had a very successful show at the Beat Kitchen.
I know.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
It was fifth time's a charm.
Fifth time's a charm. Ooh, that's a bad average. Okay, how is Otter Petter doing? One of my other favorite Chicago bands.
Otter Petter is doing great. We've been rocking the festival circuit.
Oh, God. Oh, man. You're so not good on microphones. You've been rocking the festival circuit. You and Poi Dong Pondering. Merle, could you please...
Please hurry, Merle.
Could you please get on a mic?
Me.
This is turning into pain in audio format. They could wait. Could we give Merle a second? No, we can't. Okay, Jeremy, back to you.
Uh-huh.
Why aren't you wearing your hat tonight?
Because I came straight from work.
Where do you work?
I work at Career Builder.
Really?
I am a tax accountant.
You're a tax accountant at Career Builder.
Let me tell you about my day.
Tell me. I'm excited. I'm literally on the edge of my seat. All right, Merle's back on the mic. Thank God. Okay, Merle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I kind of like the idea of the bartender with a microphone.
Well, I wish it was hanging.
I'll love a box.
Because then I would, but I would probably, but then you would pick up the, you know, the people at the bar. And I was hoping that it was hanging. And then you'd give me one of those square mics. And I'd feel like I was the guy who was going to yell, let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to ask if I could do that, but there's no point because it's not hanging anymore, so...
How are you the only one able to silence the crowd? Is it because you're... Is it because you're...
Cause she's been serving them drinks.
If they're not quiet, I'll poison their drinks.
So, Merle, you're going to get a question from the Kids Book of Questions at the end of the night, but you also have some news stories prepared for us.
Oh, I do.
Very dramatic pause right there.
Oh, so I was tangled in the cords.
Are you going to be able to see the... By the way, for those of you that have ever been to the Hungry Brain, it's a dark bar.
It's dark. I did bring an ultra-bright flashlight.
Did you really? Oh, that's nice.
All right. So I found it on statistics, and I always like statistics about dates and things like that, just because I try to compare myself to them.
Okay.
So in Cook County, more people have died on February 17th. So I'm just going to try not to, you know... Do anything horrible on that day.
February 17th.
Yeah. So
do you think
skydiving.
It's because of all the people that committed suicide on February 14th and then no one discovered them until February 17th?
Oh, that could be true.
Yeah. Because usually if you're very sad on that day, it means you're alone.
And no one's going to check on you until the cats eat your face.
That's true.
Or that smell, that terrible smell.
That's
Although
good.
I wonder how long would it take for someone in a hipster's home because they already smell.
I think it'd be quicker because hipsters are usually poor and they usually owe money on bills.
Oh, I see, and they knock.
So they're consistently checked up on.
And also, don't have any sex the month of January because more babies are born September 8th.
Why? Wait.
So I counted bet right. Is
so
that
wouldn't,
right?
Why 9? Wouldn't you want to have a baby
January, right?
September 8th then?
Do the math. Because 9 months before that, someone had sex and. Babies popped out September 8th.
So? I don't get what you're saying.
Oh.
Are you just saying don't have...
people. Don't have babies.
Yeah, that's really what you're saying. Just don't have babies.
Don't have a baby, folks.
Okay, that's fine. Are you comfortable doing this back there? You're, like, pacing back and forth.
Well, because I feel... I don't want to, you know...
Are you really going to try to serve people while you're on mic?
I can't. If it was hanging and then there was something that would motorize, that would just move back and forth.
If we had a motorized microphone, do you think we'd be at the Hungry Brain? I love the
that
Hungry Brain,
true.
But let's be realistic. We'd be at Universal Studios.
That's true.
That's by the way, I didn't tell you, that's my dream job, doing this at Universal Studios.
That's going to be the breakout show.
That's good.
Universal Studios.
We just do it in the T2 ride.
Yeah. Now, this story, you didn't want to talk about it.
Yes.
Because I forget why.
Well,
exactly.
Tell the story.
I didn't really get your reasoning. But there's angry bees in this town in California. They're attacking people. It's a colony of angry bees. And I guess he had a thing about it just because right now bees are just dying everywhere.
Yeah, bees are dying everywhere. There's a bee shortage in the world.
And well, there's none in this town.
Okay,
there's
but
plenty
that's one town. You sound like the people that don't agree with global warming because occasionally it's very cold.
No, I just think it's funny that they're getting chased by bees and things. Like, people schedule their things so they don't have to deal with the bees.
Why is that bad? They don't want to die.
Yeah, but what I told you was that, do you think, like, the bees are on revenge now? They're going after these people because of all the other dead bees in the world?
Yes.
They have a...
They have a giant... It's the most loyal gang. It's like Humboldt Park became bees. And
yeah.
They wanted to make everything
well,
even.
Well, if that's the case, they should make a movie.
They have made many movies.
Like the... What's that one with the bee? It's the cartoon about the bee and Jerry Seinfeld.
Bee movie?
They should do
You couldn't
a second
think of
one.
The title Bee Movie about the bees?
Well, I think they should do a second one.
How long have you been behind
a
bar?
Rampage.
Okay, next story.
It's when you walk in, you just soak in the chemicals in your brain. It's kind of how that works.
Oh, that's sad and true. Like that Metallica song.
Okay. So there's, people are going to, oh no, wait, I want to talk about this one because I think it's funny. There's a new doll in town, folks. And it's called the Breast Milk Baby. They're going to show, shut up. This has no time or date attached to it. Thanks for ruining the... this can be at any time and any place, couldn't it?
No, it's on July...
I hate
18th,
you.
2011.
Well, whatever. No, well, the thing is...
9:51 p.m.
Okay, but it's Central. Coming to the U.S. market. It hasn't. It's going to be shown at a toy fair July 30th.
Ooh.
So suck it. It's the, let's see. The ASD trade show in Las Vegas. So they're going to show this stupid doll where you wear this, the little girl or boy, you can put on this halter top, and it has flowers on it instead of nipples. And then you put the baby to them, and there's a sensor, and the baby makes a suckling noise.
How many theme bars do you think are going to put Kahlua in that?
No, but it's just the baby. Like, the baby just makes the noise, the doll.
Oh, there's nothing in it?
No, it just goes...
It's kind of pointless.
So little girls can be mommies.
All right, this is going to be a very difficult show because Merle's doing crowd work behind a bar. So,
well, I can't.
Don't respond. You're doing great.
But I have to.
No, you don't.
Aww.
Be a real bartender. Ignore people that talk.
But don't I anyway? Like, when I'm up there, I respond.
Some people ignore people. That's too insider. Okay.
What?
Put the microphone down. That was a great job, Merle. Go back to slinging some drinks. Chime
I'm
in whenever you want.
Take a nap under the bar. That's where I'll be.
Clap for naps, everybody.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Coming to the stage, he is a very prolific writer, and that's a very big understatement. This is... The one of three books that he has out this year, The Film That Changed My Life. We're going to talk about this and some of his other books. He's a film critic, he's a writer, he's a journalist, and he seems like a very nice man. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Rob Elder, everybody. Rob Elder. Rob, how are you?
Just fine. Thanks for having me.
Why film? What interests you about film? What makes you want to write about this stuff?
Film, no matter what other book I'm writing, is always my first love.
Are you a filmmaker?
No.
Why not?
Because I grew up in Billings, Montana, and it seemed more tangible to become like an astronaut than filmmaker. Filmmaker seemed like...
Does it still seem impossible?
Not impossible, because I know a lot of filmmakers now.
Okay.
In Chicago...
In Chicago, it's a little difficult.
It's a little difficult. I mean, but we got great filmmakers here, Jonas Swanberg and that crowd.
Okay.
I have 3-year-old twins.
Just, oh,
it's
nice.
Yeah, it's harder to get behind the camera.
Your wife has to be, I'm assuming you're married.
Yes.
Considering the ring on your finger. Yes. It has to be very great that you write about film, considering you could pretty much see them almost whenever, unless it's a premiere. Or do you watch like 80 films a week so she's just angry at you all the time?
Yeah, no, I see less films than I used to. Just because, again, they're three, so you know, we're exhausted by like 8 o'clock.
What is the last film that you saw that actually blew you away? Has there been a film like that recently?
I'm trying to think of the last film I saw in a theater. Because it's been a while.
I'm assuming it was probably Facets or Music Box.
I think it was... No. I think it was Tron Legacy.
Really? Tron Legacy?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you just turned off a lot of podcast listeners with Tron Legacy. Why?
Dumb but beautiful.
So you're into 3D.
I was into getting away that night and putting on 3D glasses.
Is that only because at the time you had twin two-year-olds?
Yes.
Jesus,
yes,
that's depressing.
Yes, but I mean, again, you're talking to somebody who has a ton of Netflix,
yeah,
ton of Criterion Collection. But every once in a while, again, I wrote about film. I was a film reviewer for the Chicago Tribune for 5 years. And when you have kids, it just changes your film-going habits. In fact, the filmmaker, Peter Greenaway, he's the guy who made The Cook, The Wife, The Thief, and Her Lover. Mm-hmm. He is an older dad, and he talked
really?
To me. Yeah, and he talked to me about actually discovering the first Tron and how much he loved Tron and watching it with his little kid, just because of the structure and the beauty of it. You experience films in a different way.
Being somebody from Montana, how did you see film? Did you see film?
Multiplexes. There's also movie theaters. Again, the book is called The Film That Changed My Life, and one of the great things I got to do is I got to talk to John Dahl.
Okay.
And John Dahl did The Last Seduction and Red Rock West, which are great films. He's done a ton of other things, including some Battlestar Galactica work. But
you've taken the podcast listeners back on your side.
Yes, I am. But John and I went to the same high school about 20 years apart.
Okay.
And the movie that changed his life was A Clockwork Orange, mm-hmm. which he talks about in the film. And he saw it at a drive-in movie theater that I used to go to.
What irresponsible film programmer has A Clockwork Orange outside? That just seems wrong for the children.
Yeah, possibly. But I remember, speaking of wrong for the children, I think I went to a multiplex, and I don't know what movie... No, I know what movie we were supposed to watch. We went because my dad got to pick the film, and he picked Clint Eastwood's Firefox.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys remember this bloody jet movie.
Somebody said they loved it.
Yes, yes. But on the opposite screen behind us, they were playing Porky's.
Oh, wait, was this a drive-in?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, so like it was like, eyes forwards, kid. Eyes forward. And
that's kind of fantastic.
But it was also, and then there's a really like bloody scene in the middle of it where they take out a whole like hangar of scientists.
Porky's or the other one? That was cheap.
It's,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's the extended cut of Porky's. Very interesting. So it was really nice to talk to a lot of these guys, people who I had relationships with. I used to play poker once a year with Kevin Smith, actually, out in Rosemont at the Chicago Comic Con.
Are you bragging or, like, regretting that? I can't tell.
He always kicked my ass, so I'm regretting it just a little.
Was it a high-stakes game?
$100.
Okay.
$100. I don't know if I should be talking about it. It's actually kind of a secret game. I don't know.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not now.
I'm sure with... He's kind of has a lot of airtime to fill with his podcast network. I'm sure he's talked quite a bit about it.
A long time ago. Yeah. And, and I don't think this is a secret anymore, but Jim Lee, again, for the comic book geeks out there, mm-hmm. Jim Lee...
From X-Men?
He's a shark.
Oh, really?
Shark. It's an amazing, amazing poker
player.
Is this
the coolest, geekiest poker table in the world? Who else was there?
You've
referenced Jim Lee and Kevin Smith.
Yeah, a lot of artists, a lot of filmmakers. Once I sat down next, and I played next to this guy all night, and I was like, I can't place him. I can't. What is his name? And he sort of had a familiar face.
Mm-hmm.
And then later somebody said, "Well, you know who you sat next to?" I was like, no, and I was like, Flash Gordon.
What?
Yeah, the guy from like the 70s, like Queen Flash. That guy.
Did he school you?
No, he was a bad player.
Oh,
he was
that's depressing.
But he works in like security ops. So his job now, yeah, his job is to his job is to save every one of us. He does like high profile like diplomatic security now. So it's one of those things you run into people in weird places everywhere.
Wait! He runs diplomatic security, or he's a security guard?
I think he runs a team.
All right.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem realistic in any way whatsoever.
No, but again, it's one of those things like you could never guess, and why would I be at a poker table with this guy? But it happens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Back to the book. I've been reading it. I really like the Edgar Wright piece, The American Werewolf in London. Now that sounds bad because I'm looking at it and I realize I read that one first. The Clockwork Orange piece was interesting. I like this book. Why do I like this book? I've been enjoying it for even works I haven't seen.
And what haven't you seen? Curious.
Sadly, The Exterminating Angel. Never seen
that. It's a Boonwell film.
Is there anything in here that you don't like?
It actually sort of turned out like I am not a natural Boonwell fan, but Alex Gibney, who's a documentarian, he made Taxi to the Dark Side and Enron, the Smartest Guys in the Room. He's an amazing documentary filmmaker. This was the film that turned him on to filmmaking.
Okay.
His love for it, his passion for it, made me love it.
Okay.
So it's hard to sort of go in and say, like, man, this is not my taste.
Absolutely.
But you get sort of seduced by their point of view.
Is Chicago a good place for a film fan?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, not only do you have, you know, Facets and the Music Box and the Gene Siskel Center, there are just great pockets. You have, you know, a couple of great chains, A Trip to the Movie, it's Hollywood Boulevard, which is Ted Balthup's company. And within 100 miles, we have 6 drive-in movie theaters.
Where's the closest one?
West Chicago.
That's still far.
It's like, well, it's
I don't
like
have a car.
37 miles.
That's 37 miles away. 37, Kevin Smith, everybody. you're working on two other books at this moment, or they're like the publisher has them.
No, one's out.
Okay.
Yeah, It Was Over When, Tales of Romantic Dead Ends, and that's actually out right now. It's sister book. It Was Love When, Tales from the Beginning of Love, is out in December.
Explain these books.
So if you haven't figured it out already, I'm sort of obsessed with epiphany moments, or at least extreme moments. My book before this was cheerfully called Last Words of the Executed, about exactly what it sounds like. And so I'm interested in, again, these sort
was
of...
Was anybody's last words, I'm so moving on?
No, but there are at least 3 people who cheer for their favorite football team.
What teams were those? Were they the Raiders?
What a shock.
Murders like the Raiders.
And the Dallas Cowboys, strangely.
that makes sense. America's team, everybody.
Yes, in Texas. And so actually to get relief from that book, which I sent 7 years on, and I was very lucky, Sister Helen Prejean, who wrote Dead Men Walking, called it a dangerous book, which I didn't know if I wanted to spend years of my life to have me tell a nun tell me that my work was dangerous.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It was good. It was very flattering, actually. But after all of that, again, my wife was pregnant at the time, and I was like, all right, after this, it's just like sex and love and frivolity.
That's nice.
So I founded these websites. It Was Over When, Tales of Romantic Dead Ends, and It Was Love When. And they're not breakup stories, but what they do is they chronicle that exact moment in your mind where you realize, like, yeah, this is just not going to work out.
Have you written about your wife in these?
In It Was Love When, yes. And it's very easy to pick out the story, and I'll just cop to the story. And it's when you know you're in love is different. If you're in the same couple, they're different moments. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was when I sort of realized that we both have what you call the go-for-the-joke gene.
Okay.
Which is, like, no matter how inappropriate or how off the timing is, you still go for the joke because, you know, who knows? So the fact that we could share that, I really, really like. But I like them. They're bite-sized. They're tragic. They're funny. They're philosophical. My favorite one is still, it was over when I asked him what his favorite sexual fantasy was.
What did he say?
And this is a woman's point of view. And he said, 2 redheads. I'm a brunette. And then there's always an aftermath. He left me 2 weeks later for a blonde.
Okay.
Yeah, just you know.
That makes sense.
It's super bad planning on his part.
They sell hair dye, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But they're also, I have another favorite one. I knew it was over when he thought that dinosaurs were a conspiracy theory.
That's good.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on dinosaurs?
Yeah. I don't know. I think
it's a very weak answer.
It should be. Well, I think it's, you know, there's a lot to. Okay, I'm the subject of that one. Thank you for.
Is film your first love?
It really is. It really is. And Reservoir Dogs was the film that sort of turned me on.
Has it aged well?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes. Why do you think it hasn't aged well? Because I can see that crinkle in your eye.
The whole first act?
It's all one act.
No,
I don't understand.
No, it's not. Oh, fine. The first scene in the diner when they're talking about Madonna.
Yeah. So?
Maybe I don't like it anymore because of how many people have used that as their template and not done it well.
Yeah.
Maybe
and that's it. It's also like, seriously, but it's also
junior
like
Stocka,
when you see Casablanca for the first time and you realize you've seen the movie.
Yes, that's completely.
But through
I've seen this Animaniacs episode. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Completely. So I think it's just become a cultural touchstone. But I really do think it works. And again, it's genius indie filmmaking because the entire film pretty much takes place in one room. There's not a greater budget than a one room.
No, Clerks is way cheaper.
$27,000 cheaper. Yes.
Yeah,
true.
And it was in a that was in really one room. You have the diner, the car, which is street shots.
That's expensive. It is. But
and then the yes, they have the warehouse.
Yes. But virtually one room. Talk about indie film.
Yeah. Why didn't Harvey Keitel did Harvey Keitel executive produce that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you met him?
No. No,
I want to meet him.
No, he seems like one of these guys. Like, I just don't want to meet somebody whose penis I've seen that much.
Those are the only people I want to meet. Why do you care about that?
No,
that's the only reason why I want to hang out with Ian McGregor.
I just don't want to like look him in the eye, like, "Hi, Harvey." You know,
you don't gotta jack him off when you meet him.
No, well,
when you're closing your eyes and you're looking away, it might happen.
Yeah, you haven't been to Hollywood that much, have
you? No, I have.
Yeah,
I'm willing to jack off anybody for a job. You hear that, Hollywood podcast listeners? That means Kevin Smith and no one else. Do you still enjoy Kevin Smith films?
What was the last one I really liked? I have not seen Cop Out, I have to admit. I have not seen it.
Zach and Mary?
Say again?
Zach and Mary was before that.
Zach and Mary, I like the first half of. I just knew where it was going.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where it was going, and I know people who love it.
What's out now that's decent, or have you not seen any of it?
Father of Twins. How many times do I have to say Father of Twins?
Twice. Okay. Why should I go to a movie theater to see a documentary? I know that they're good, but it feels like it doesn't need to be on the big screen ever.
True, but it helps fund other documentaries.
Does it?
Yeah.
It gets them more money if I go to some indie hit film. I know, but it's like I could see this on Frontline in 6 months.
It's true, but I understand. You know what unless it's changed, do you know what the number one grossing documentary at the Siskel Film Center was?
No.
Helvetica.
It's
a documentary about Helvetica, the font.
Because people like NPR, I get it.
It was mystifying, but I still think it's their number one
Salt
film.
Is one of the top 10 bestsellers in the past 10 years. Salt, everybody.
Well, Pepper, the sequel's coming out.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, totally fucking with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have made an Angelina Jolie joke. Right
No, I didn't see that
either.
Did you
see that?
No,
I got
to
make it. They're making a sequel.
Salt?
Yeah,
Salt?
Yeah. That was supposed to be Tom Cruise.
It was, and they rewrote it for her.
Yeah.
It also makes you think, like, in Hollywood, like, what roles have been rewritten for other people?
Did you see there was, like, a top 30 list of that recently, and they changed all the posters, and that was really neat. Like, George Clooney was supposed to be that shitty alien Peter Berg-directed Will Smith vehicle.
Hancock,
yeah.
See, Hancock was a great idea, and it
wasn't
was
it?
Ruined.
I feel like you could say that about Peter Berg's entire career.
Friday Night Lights?
There was a lot of mistakes in Friday Night Lights. No, the soundtrack was amazing, and the TV show is better than the film.
Yes, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Jon Favreau's entire career. Better on paper. Did you see Cowboys and Aliens from the director of Iron Man? That's your selling point?
But again,
we're getting way too filmy.
No. I think. And look, like, but Iron Man's a good film.
Is it?
It's a good film.
Why does Robert Downey Jr. get to be like the cool guy now? He just can't handle his drugs and alcohol. What's the deal? Why does everyone like him?
It's because it's the great American underdog story. He
was famous at 20. How is that an underdog?
Because he pissed his career away. And again, you end up like okay, what's his name? The wrestler,
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
But at least Mickey Rourke looks like shit. Robert Downey Jr. is attractive. It's not fair. I'll never look that good, and I've never abused heroin. What's the fucking deal?
Well, you know, the famous...
Jeans?
The famous joke about him is Get Bruce, which is about a documentary about the famous joke writer for the Academy Awards, talked about...
Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche. Talked about the meanest joke they ever had to cut, and one of them was... he says in the documentary, he's like, you know, some of you here will... go home with Oscar. The rest of you will go home to Robert Downey Jr. on your couch.
That's the meanest joke.
It was
so tame.
But I think it was much meaner in the 80s.
Oh, God, the 80s were really boring.
I thought Coke was supposed to be exciting and shit.
Maybe it is now. I don't know. Is it now?
Coke?
Crowd?
Yeah, it's exciting. Okay. Yeah, if they're here this early, they're not on a bunch of
blow. Okay. All right. That guy shows up later.
Final advice. Final question. If you have two kids, what advice do you have for the potential writer out there? What should they be doing to keep putting pen on paper? Other than not having twins.
That's an impetus to write more, believe it or not.
Really?
I was telling my friend Nell Taylor there at the bar.
Nell's a fan of the show. Nell's been on, I don't know if she's a fan of the show, that's a lie. Nell's been on the show. I don't think she's ever downloaded one, but she's definitely been on the show. We have pictures and audio to prove it. But you were telling Nell.
No, we're still, I actually gave a keynote address someplace recently, and I think I'm turning it into a book, and the name of the project is called...
What don't you turn into a book, sir?
I have twins. I'm just saying. You just gotta put. You know.
Could you turn this into a book?
Yes, I have twins, and you just make an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
No, I'm calling it blackmail yourself into success.
Okay.
Because I've been to. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to like conventions, like writers' conventions and that sort of stuff. I was actually at one recently where somebody said, "You know, it's not a competition. You know, write at your own pace. You know, write on your lunch hour. You know, as long as you're just doing the work, that's what really matters." And I was beside myself. I was just like, if you don't know it's a fucking competition, then you are losing.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how much, like, competition there are for agents, shelf space, attention? And so it's just this very, it's basically the anti-secret.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no more self-visualization. It's me basically repeating the Nike slogan from the 90s for about 100 pages.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, final question is going to be from the Kids Book of Questions.
Okay.
By Gregory Stock, PhD. It's an awful, 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 awful book. I need you to pick a number between 208 and 235.
214?
Fantastic. 214. We don't have 214. You get 212. Have you ever seen your mother or father cry? If not, how do you think it would feel to see that? Want me to read it again?
Can I pick another number? Oh, my God.
Nope, you have to do... No, you want another number?
I think it was... Okay, have I ever seen them cry? Yes, I have. I've seen them cry. And at funerals, there's nothing funny to come out of that. Help me here.
No.
Anybody? Nell?
This is way
Nell
better.
Taylor. Calling Nell Taylor. Anybody? No.
How does it feel to see your mother cry?
It's awful.
Every day, that's how it feels to see your mother cry. it feels like you should go do a talk show or else you're going to fucking kill yourself. That's how it makes you feel. What?
No, I think...
That didn't put the crowd in stitches?
No, I'm
shocked.
I
thought I was as funny as Jeremy.
What if doing the show makes her cry?
Oh, you don't care anymore. She's already crying.
Oh.
It's like once the
really?
Well opens. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for doing the show.
Hey, thanks for having
Time
me.
Time for plugs. Where can people buy your books? I highly recommend this. I really enjoy this at the end of the night. I do a chapter right before I go to bed.
Oh, cool.
It's nice. It's compact. You don't have. It's obviously not like a novel. You can put it down whenever. It's very, very enjoyable, and it's kind of inspiring.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So, where can people find it?
So again, it's The Film That Changed My Life. You can buy it at Amazon all over.
Which gets you the most money?
Like, I think just buying it, period.
It doesn't matter if it's like at a bookstore or Powell's or something like that. Okay,
no.
Amazon, Rob Elder.
Yeah, Film Changed My Life. Robert K. Elder's The Byline. It Was Over When is also out there, and that's the name of the URL as well.
Fantastic. Rob Elder, everybody, please put your hands together
for you.
Rob. Megan's coming.
Did you know that being an intern for You, Me, Them, Everybody can earn you college credit? We're serious. You, Me, Them, Everybody is currently seeking motivated interns in D.C. and Chicago for just 10 hours of work a week. You'll get real-life, hands-on experience with video editing, booking, promotion, marketing, and creative development. Just visit us at youmethemeverybody.com for more info. Applicants should be at least 21 and over and not annoying, but we can kind of bend the rules on both of those. So don't delay. Email Brandon at youmethemeverybody.com and start earning the most exciting credit from your college career.
Oh, wasn't that nice? Jeremy Tromberg on the piano. That was so delicate and delightful. All right, Rob was absolutely fantastic, and our next performer will be nothing like Rob. She's fucking unbelievable. She's done the show in Washington, D.C. This is her first time doing the show in Chicago, yet she lives in Chicago, so figure that one out. She's one of my favorite stand-ups in Chicago. You should be a big fan if you weren't already. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Megan Gailey, everybody. Megan Gailey.
many people with glasses on in this room. It's really intimidating to me. I looked on stage and I was like, everyone is a man and has glasses and is really smart, and I'm in a fucking Banana Republic rap dress. I'm going to look like an idiot. So here goes that idiotness, I guess. this bar is great. It's like the Lost Boys got a liquor license. This is so fun. Like, okay. No parents allowed here, I guess. I went to D.C. to do the show because everyone in Chicago hates me. I'm just hated by everybody, which I guess is understandable because the only thing I care about in life, like my one goal in life, is to marry a disgustingly rich professional athlete. Like, that's all I care about at all. And people get very, very offended and upset when I say that. They're like, oh, you're a gold digger, you're a jersey chaser. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to apologize for wanting to marry a man that makes millions of dollars, is never at home, and has the life expectancy of 46. Like, that just makes sense. Don't call me a gold digger. Just call me a practical human being. That's what my nickname should be. And then they try and talk me out of it. Like, oh, you're going to get cheated on all the time. Like, look at me. I have wedges on. I look like a fucking idiot. Obviously, I'm going to get cheated on. Like, I understand that. And it's like, I'd rather get cheated on in my gorgeous mansion than my disgusting aluminum siding hut. Like, I will weep on my marble staircase any day of the week. Like, I'm having another breakdown in the solarium. Like, I don't fucking care if I get cheated on, whatever. That's my best friend from growing up, she just got engaged to a bobcat, like a basketball player, not like a jungle animal. And like, her life is great, and she gets cheated on all the time. Like, she has the best Facebook statuses. She does. She goes to St. Lucia like 6 times a year. And it's like, I don't even know where that is, but it sounds awesome. Like, I will get HPV to go parasailing. That's fine with me. I'll get in that line. I don't care. Well, and like, cheating, that's not just for rich people. Like, poor people cheat just as much as rich people. There's an entire show about poor people cheating on other poor people. And it's just called Cheaters. That's all. I mean, it's just poor people yelling at their fat, disgusting spouses in the parking lots of strip malls. Like, sorry, I don't want to break up with my cheating husband outside of a Ruby Tuesday. Like, I don't want it to go down that. Like, if I'm breaking up with my cheating husband, you better believe I am floating in a crystal hot air balloon, which defies physics. I'm blasting fireworks out of my fingertips, just taking my prenup, dipping it in chocolate, and having diamonds dumped on my tits. Like, that's how I'm breaking up with my... I've seen Basketball Wives. I want to do whatever they're doing. I'm delusional, definitely. It's not my fault that my parents raised me to be this way, so blame them. I got my first Disney princess dress in the fall of 1992. It was Belle, and it was $85. In 92, that was like, I don't know. I guess people were doing coke and driving Lamborghinis. I don't know what people did in 92. But I remember my dad coming home and just screaming at my mom, like, are you crazy? What is wrong for a 6-year-old? And I'm just like clinging to my Belle costume underneath my gorgeous Laura Ashley canopy bed, terrified for my life. And in the moment, I was like, oh my God, my parents are going to get a divorce, and it's because of me, and I'm going to get so many more presents now. Like, I've reached the goal. And then I could hear my dad stomping up the stairs, and he just busts through my door, and he's like, you're going to wear that dress every day. And I was like, ah. He was like, you're going to wear that dress to school. You're going to wear that dress to tennis lessons. You're going to wear that dress to prom. You're going to wear that dress when you graduate from medical school. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you think I am. You're going to wear that dress when you get married. You're going to wear that dress when you want to get divorced. You're going to wear that dress when you find out you got divorced because your first husband cheated on you with a 20-year-old that was running the snack shop at the country club. You're going to wear that dress when you find out your one and only son is a homosexual. You're going to wear that dress when you get remarried. And then you're going to wear that dress until you die. And I was 6 years old. And I'm like, best punishment ever. I get to wear this dress. I didn't wear that dress every day, obviously. I wore that dress until I got my Jasmine costume, which was $95. Duh, we live in America, Dad. Get with it. And then I wore my Jasmine costume until I was a sophomore in college, and I dressed as Ariel from The Little Mermaid. And that night is very exciting because I actually lost my virginity when I was dressed as Ariel from The Little Mermaid, which is the dream for every white woman. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's to marry a black person. I don't know what it is. But it was my dream at the time. It was on a fraternity basement floor to a man dressed up as Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I was Ariel. Esmeralda, give it up for Esmeralda, working the bar and the microphone. She had that really fun story about suicide. That was great. She said February 17th is the highest rated day of suicide in Cook County. February 17th is my fucking birthday, which is like, which because my brother's birthday is September 11th, and I'm always like, yeah, fuck you, America, yeah, fuck. But like now, mine's just like people, and like I tried to kill, well, I didn't really try to kill myself. I fake tried to kill myself when I was 14 on February 17th. I really wanted to go on a cruise, okay? I wanted to go on a cruise, and my parents said no, so I fake tried to kill myself, and you know what happened? I went on a cruise the next year, so shit can work out. Maybe that's what everybody in Cook County is trying to do. I like being a woman. I don't like insults, though. Like, I hate when people insult each other, because I just think, like, if you're gross, you probably know. Like, I don't think anyone needs to remind you. And, like, I think we should be honoring what people are good at. Like, if you're hideously ugly, maybe you're really good at, like, sitting in the dark. Like, that should be... I think that should be celebrated. You know, I just think compliments are a lot more fun. And like as a woman, I like when other women compliment me because that means they really want you to die. So that's like a fun thing to, like, I would rather get complimented on fun shoes than anyone go down on me ever again. Like, I just want compliments forever. And as a girl, there's a code in complimenting. Like, if someone was to say, like, oh, Megan, I love your bracelets, you have to let them know where you got it from. So I'd be like, oh, my God, Target. Like, I'm incredulous to the fact that Target makes bracelets, even though it's a giant bracelet factory. That's the code. And lucky enough for me, in the past year, I've had two female relatives die. Woo! So I have just been fabulously dressed since then. Like, my closet is just brimming with wonderful accessories. So people will be like, oh my God, Megan, I love your necklace. And I'm like, dead aunt. And they're like, what? That's weird. I'm like, oh my God, your scarf is so great. And I'm like, I know. Isn't it great that my grandmother got breast cancer? And they're like, that's, I'm really sorry. I'm like, I'm not, I look great. So I don't know why you're, my crown jewel of my dead relative collection, that's an actual collection, you can find it at Sotheby's, is a painting I have hanging in my living room. It's of a nude woman from the back. You can see her butt crack, and then a little bit of side tit, which everybody likes, even the kids. And so people will come into my living room, and they're like, oh, that's a very interesting picture. Where did you get that from? I'm like, oh, it's actually from my grandmother. She painted it. And they're like, oh, is it of anyone you know? And I'm like, yes, it's actually of my grandmother. They're like, oh, is she uncomfortable with the fact that there's a nude picture of her hanging in your living room? I'm like, no, I mean, she doesn't know because she's dead. And then the 10 seconds it takes them to realize that they're staring at the ass crack of my dead grandmother, I then too get naked. Yeah, because Nani might be dead, but Megan's alive and kicking and needs some servicing. So I've only tried it on one person. I tried it on my apartment handyman, and he just like rolled his eyes and went to work on the toilet. But my vagina has been known to be called the toilet, so. That joke is stupid, and I hate it, but I wrote it while I was at work, and I work at a retirement home, and I know it has to be illegal to think thoughts like that while you're pushing a wheelchair of a 90-year-old, so that's why. So that's why I did it. Are you okay back here? No, my grandmother, she did die. I usually like whenever I'm doing a show to bring that up so I can hear the host burst into laughter behind me. I listened to the show that I did in D.C. today because I was like, I got to remember what I did. You are a giant cocksucker. Like, not what? To me, but, like, to everybody else. No, I love it. And my family went to the show. They were like, he's so rude. He's awesome. And I was like, yeah, people are rude, and it's great. But, no, you're a dick. I like it, though. Put the mic away. Stop. Just leave it away. It'll be fine. Put it towards the weird lights that are half out.
Trying to get the crowd laughter. That's why it's pointed at them.
Oh, okay.
On the recording.
You're like, I'm trying to talk so they'll laugh, so you shut up.
You're funnier than me, so I get confused.
I get confused pretty easily. Back to where were we? Oh, my grandmother died. Yeah, she died tragically. And her favorite show was The View. So I've taken up watching it in her honor because that show's only in hell, so she doesn't get to see it anymore. And on The View, the Esmeralda likes stories. On The View last week, they had a story that American women rank second to last in the world in flirting, which I find awful. Like, we rank 19th out of 20th in the world in flirting. And I was like, first of all, I didn't know there were only 20 countries left in the world. That is big news to me. And then the woman reading the story, she was absolutely appalled. She was like, there's no way we're second to the last in the world in flirting. I'm a great flirter. In fact, I've been flirting with the audience the entire time I've been reading this story. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. Whoopi Goldberg still thinks she's a woman. Good for her. Oh, don't feel... She does Poise commercials. She's doing Poise commercials, which is about pissing your pants when you get old. That's... good for, I mean, I bet she's making a killing on it. But I was genuine, like, I'm an Olympic level flirter. I love flirting. In eighth grade, I was voted Belzer Middle School's biggest flirt, and I fucked the JV basketball coach just to let them know they got the right 13-year-old whore. And then my senior year in high school, I was voted most likely to be on The Bachelorette, which is just like, go kill yourself. You're going to die alone anyways. And then my final semester of college, I was ranked best girl to rape if you didn't want charges pressed. And I was like, yay! It was a one-time award given out by the Big Ten Network, so I'm pretty proud of it. I guess that's a fun rape joke, though, you know? I think if you're going to tell a rape joke, why not let it be fun? Like, I'm really sad that I never got molested because, like, I was a dime piece five-year-old. Like, that was the best I peaked at five. Someone missed out big time. And, like, I love candy, so I would have been on board with, like, a pedophile could have pulled up and been like, oh, my God, your parents were in an accident. I'd be like, fuck them. You got Tootsie Pops? Like, let's go. Let's get out of here. People love to bring me candy still. Like, my friend, she brought me, like, a giant pack of Bubblicious bubble gum, cherry flavor, because that's my favorite kind. And I was chewing it, and it loses flavor after, like, 30 seconds. So I threw it in the lady potty, because that's where I happened to be when it happened. Stood up, wiped, looked down, and I swear to God, for 5 seconds, I thought my clit had fallen out. It hadn't, though. I still have it. I think I still have it. This is when I like to make a public service announcement. I don't have a boyfriend, so that's just open to anybody that's here tonight. If you know anybody, you kind of have to take matters into your own hands sometimes, so that's what I'm doing. You know, I have a microphone and I'm lonely, so that's what I choose to do with my time. I was in a relationship. I was dating this guy, and he broke up with me, and, like, I should have known it was never going to work, because the first time I tried to give him a blowjob, he turned it down, and it was like, okay, you're obviously a serial killer. Like, that's the only rational explanation to ever do. Like, you have to be crazy. Like, you must literally be crazy to do that. Like, a man's penis is disgusting. It is gross. And when I was 12 years old, my mom told me, don't ever put a man's dick in your mouth, because that's what they pee out of. And that's true. That is real. And we still do it anyways, and it's like, what? Your penis is gross, and my mouth is delicious and awesome, and sometimes I put lobster in it. Like, how dare you not want to put your disgusting pee-pee stick in my awesome shellfish hole? Like, who the fuck do you think you are? And, like, I don't have a dick, so I don't know what feels good, but I'm pretty sure if I had one, I'd want it to share space with drawn butter. Like, that seems like that would feel... All right, thank you very much. I'm Megan Gailey.
Megan Gailey.
It's kind of a jazzy song. Jeremy, good job. How are you? You don't have to use the mic stand for this part.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel better. Okay.
Okay. Right. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very happy to see you in a bar that isn't anything like the Looking Glass. The last time you did the show... the crowd is about 50% African-American, 50% white, no hipsters. Here, we're 100% white, 100% hipsters. It's nice to see you being able to get laughs from both crowds. Do you alter your sets, or does it matter? You don't have to answer the serious question with a serious answer.
Obviously, if it's, like, all black people, I'll be like, oh, I look like Lindsay Lohan. Like, I'll do dumb shit. They think that's silly. I can't. That was racist. That was, like, I was... talking about not being racist, being racist. The moral of the story is black people laugh at silly things. So yeah, I'll do dumb shit.
I love Megan so much.
No, you alter it. I get not. No, I mean not really.
Okay.
So much. I don't know.
Every time we have a comic on the show, I like to listen to the set and give potential album titles. Do you have an album?
No.
Will you record one day?
I mean, hopefully.
There you go. Here are your potential album titles. Okay. Diamonds Dumped on My Tits.
Okay, yeah.
Brimming with Wonderful Accessories.
Okay.
The Toilet.
Oh, The Toilet.
Best Girl to Rape According to the Big Ten Network.
Okay.
But you got to have a year on that one. So, like, your senior year at the Big... Where'd you go to college, by the way?
Purdue.
Oh, that's a good...
Yeah, so when you were talking about fraternities, fraternity guys do have dogs. They all... Because they're like, look, I have a dog. I can take care of something. That's what they...
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
No.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, back to the album titles. My Clit Had Fallen Out.
Okay.
And what? And finally, From My Awesome Shellfish Hole.
Okay. All right.
Where do you like to get shellfish in the city?
Joe's Stone Crab.
Why?
I know. Well, I mean...
Wait. Somebody goes, oh, it's expensive. Did you listen to her set? She likes money. That's why she's great.
That's my favorite restaurant in the city. That was my favorite restaurant, and then I dated the general manager, and he was just a horrible human.
Why? What did he do?
Oh, like our first date, he was like, this is a podcast. People hear this. He was like, let's go to the Trump Tower. It was dumb. I was like, I don't want to be here. This is gross.
I thought you would like going to the Trump Tower.
I don't know. Well, part of it was like he was 32 and Jewish, and like he obviously doesn't want to marry me. Like, I get that.
Oh, okay. Do you want to get married still?
Yeah.
I know, but you're always joking about the athletes, but you know you're doing stand-up. Like, why are you here if you're trying to get dates?
Because I'm confused.
You are confused. Your parents were at the last show, and
yeah.
That was crazy because they laughed at all of your blowjob jokes. Mm-hmm. And they support you, and mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. What made you want to do stand-up?
I just don't like to work. Really.
You work in an old folks home?
Yeah, but my last day is on Friday.
Ooh, what are you going to do?
Nothing.
How do you pay your rent?
Mystery, I guess. No, I'm going to, I don't, oh, I thought it was the other slip.
What happened? Oh, did you
I
just like.
I flashed you. Yeah,
no, you didn't. I'm actually looking at my phone. My fiance just texted, the cat just peed on the couch and it might actually be ruined. Why are you cheering that? My girlfriend, or my fiance, loves you. You're great.
Yeah, she's great, too.
I know. That's why I'm marrying her. Who's number one at flirting? If it's, do you remember in the View story?
Oh, no. I remember the worst. The worst was Ecuador.
Wait, out of the 20 countries, one of them was Ecuador?
Yeah. And I would think the Latin countries would be really good at flirting.
Yeah.
But I think Ecuador, do they have a Coke problem? Maybe they just don't go out.
Yeah. Maybe that's the problem, their lack of going out.
I don't know. I think one was Spain. Yeah.
You're in a group called, is it My Funniest Friends?
Your Funniest Friends.
Yeah. How's that going? What is that group?
It's a group. There's four comedians, and we do stand-up mostly, and then sometimes sketch if they talk me into
You're
it.
You're rolling your eyes when you say sketch.
I know, because it feels gross.
Why is sketch gross?
No, it's not gross. Like, when we do it, it's either, like, whenever we do sketch, it's like I'm going on a date with one of them or, like, making
You're
out
the only...
with one of them. That's
is
what
it really
is.
That?
That's the only way they can talk me into doing it.
Have you dated any of the guys in that group?
No.
Would
no.
you?
Yeah.
Who?
I would date anyone. I would date anyone.
That's a problem. You need higher standards.
No, but like...
You do want to... We talked about this in the last show. You do want to marry an Indianapolis Colts player.
Yeah.
Which one?
Dwight Freeney.
Okay. If there's any athlete listening, if you could get a hold of Dwight Freeney?
Freeney.
Does he look rapey or no? I can't... I don't know what that
looks I mean, like. He's like... He's like 270, probably like 6'4".
What's his position?
He's a defensive end, so yeah,
he
looks
rapey. Real young.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, exactly. Like, he has an enlarged heart. He's just going to, and yeah, he's probably like an entrepreneur, like they all are.
Yeah, he's probably got
a car dealership that I can, like, be in commercials for.
That's going to be great.
I know, happy life.
I wonder what's going to come first, your successful album or your car dealership via an athlete. What if it's the same year? No, that won't happen.
I bet neither will happen.
Oh, don't say that. You're a beautiful woman that could easily trick a man into marrying you.
That's what I hope.
Honestly, you're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
Please stay as mean as possible. I need you to pick a number between 208 and 235.
Well, I know 217 is gone.
Yes, it is.
That's my birthday.
I know. Sorry.
208 and what?
208 to 235.
231.
231 is taken. You get 233.
That's right
here. No, shut the fuck up! You're ruining it. We need to.
You're doing a great job too.
He is doing a great job, isn't he? Megan Gailey. 233. How do you think your life would be different if you were 3 inches taller, 3 inches shorter? That's a decent kids' book of questions question.
I think I would just, the range of weight that I would feel self-conscious at would just be different.
Okay. Are you weight conscious?
Oh, my God. I'm an American woman. I'm weight conscious.
But you're also a Midwestern woman. And you like shellfish and talk about eating.
Yeah.
So that's not the norm either.
I guess, but like we've all tried to be bulimic at some point.
This is why I love her so much, and none of you do. That's one of the best parts about hosting a talk show. You get to invite your favorite people on stage, and you kind of like force people to watch you interact with them. It's great.
Yeah.
The kids on the podcast will love you.
Hi, kids.
Yeah. Oh, there are a lot of kids listening. Plug your next whatever you want. Where can people find you online and the stuff like that?
You can just go to yourfunniestfriends.com, and then we have a monthly show here in Chicago that's at Trace in Wrigleyville right now.
That's a shitty venue.
I know,
so
it's awful.
Shitty.
I know, it's
that's
terrible.
That's rapey, that venue.
I know, we know. We.
That's in the. It's on
know,
Clark Street, directly
know.
Between Belmont and Addison.
I know, it's awful.
The hotbed of comedy.
It's a 4 a.m. bar.
Oh, so. My God, this is so bad.
I know.
Go to that show. What
they
night?
Won't even buy us folding chairs. But you guys should come.
Watch Megan
awesome
get forced
plug.
To make out with one of the other comics. It's going to be great. Yeah. What day of the month is that?
Oh, this month is July 30th.
That's a good day for a comedy
yeah.
show.
Yeah, it's the last Saturday of every month.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
She needs it. Megan Gale, everybody.
Thanks.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You Meet Them Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear in an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
All right, everybody, who is the listener listening to?
Brad.
Brad, you are Sad Brad Smith.
That's true.
You are going to play the music.
Yes.
How would you describe your music other than sad?
Boring.
Wow. Let's end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. I need you to pick a number
great.
Between 208 and 229. Do what your heart tells you. Take your time. Take your time.
211.
211's been taken. You get 210.
Oh.
You're really sticking with this whole sad thing, aren't you? You're going to be great. I like your glasses.
Thank you.
Okay, 210. Have you ever wished someone were dead? Or at the very least... Or at the very least... had very bad luck. If so, who and why?
I got a call in junior year of high school. The house got a call. And I was up in my room, and my mom sounded worried, and I hoped that my grandmother was dead.
Why?
Because...
Wait, why are you gasping? He didn't murder anyone. It's just...
The wait to the end of the
oh,
story.
Oh, did you murder?
Well, I wonder if I did because I hoped she was dead and she was. That was the call. And my reasoning was I felt bad about it afterwards, but life was so boring. You know, my town was so boring.
What was your town?
My high school was so boring. Highland Park.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's grandmother dies in Highland Park, so you don't really think that that's a possibility.
Okay.
But
I didn't know death was so location-specific when it came to old age. I guess it is.
Well, it's not really location. Just the people, you know, connections.
Nope, I have no idea what you're talking about. So you
Where are you from?
I'm from Westchester, Oak Park, and the South Side near O'Hare. Or no, near Midway. It's like a little Poland. So I grew up in shit, medium and shit. And
here we are now, together.
Yeah. You're sad and I'm angry. We're a duo, ain't we, buddy?
Yes.
Yeah! Okay, you're going to play some music for everybody. We're going to set you up.
I will.
Fantastic. Jeremy's going to take over. Thanks for sticking around. Do not leave. We are not done. There you go, buddy. It took a while. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Sad Brad Smith.
Ride a wild horse if you can't tame her. She'll never take you anywhere you wanna go. If you ain't got room for an elephant, don't make friends with the elephant trainer. There's no use planting seeds you don't wanna grow. In the shadow of our love lies another one. We are the giant tree blocking up the sun. Someday someone will come and cut us down. Leave light for the flowers that are dying in the ground. Come spirit cheerily to me in the flesh. With the step of your soft shoe cut through this daily mess. You can deal with man's desire, these heavy chains around his chest. Take my place for a moment, spirit, for a moment let me rest and take me home. Take me home. Marry the demons, for they love you best. Without them, nothing beautiful would ever be expressed. Press deep to the bottom, shine a light across the floor. There's no stars in the ocean, be no end to the war. Spinning like a marble on a pane of glass. You find what can only happen once has already come to pass. You place your hands on the tablecloth and grip it with your fingers. Plates have all been cleared, but the taste of breakfast lingers. Don't ride a wild horse if you can't tame her. She'll never take you anywhere you want to go. If you ain't got room for an elephant, don't make friends with the elephant trainer. There's no use planting seeds you don't want to grow. So take me home. Take me home. Thank you. That was the first song. This is the second one. And here we go with number three.
Take your time. You can do it by yourself. You read the signs. They can't be read by someone else. You cloned your mind and then put one on the shelf for another time, when you might need your young mind's help to pick you up and set you down. 'Cause all you do now is sit around. All you do is sit around. All you do is sit around. Lift your head and look up at the stars and show the dead where the heavens really are asleep in bed. Your childhood calls you from afar, its eyes are red, and it wears you like a scar because it knows now how it goes. And we suppose you'll sit around. Yeah, we just know you'll sit around. Yeah, we know you'll sit around. In the time I spent by your side, I'm just a little boy with memories of me as the old man who dies. I'm just a little boy, and if we never make it home, we'll be time. You can do it by yourself. You read the signs. They can't be read by someone else. You cloned your mind and then put one on the shelf for another time, when you might need your young mind's help to pick you up and set you down. 'Cause all you do now is sit around. All you do is sit around. All you do is sit around.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to play one more official song. It's another bummer. But Brandon said I could play as many songs as I want. I don't know if we're going to be in agreement on that number, but maybe I'll throw in something offensive at the end. Well, I got one piece of hate mail once, and I think it's about...
Did you really?
Yeah.
Play that one.
You want that one on the podcast?
Hell yeah.
All right. All right, this is a song about children.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is what the letter was about. The letter listed a lot of things. Things I said about, I don't want to say because I'm going to get myself in more trouble, but things I was joking about friends of mine, my group, and this woman took offense. But one of the things she said was, your jokes about rape were not funny, not appropriate. Something like that. She didn't like singer-songwriters to begin with. That's how she started her email.
I don't think that was the problem.
Well, I went back and listened to the show, and I thought I didn't make any jokes about rape. And then somebody said, well, what about your rape song? And I thought I did play that. But I never really looked at it as a song about rape. It's more racism Anyway, it's short. I sing in a falsetto. It's called My How the Kids. In summer school, the girls are free to wear bikinis and go to the beach to study. It's a nice time to be a young boy, driving in cars, looking for action. Better get some satisfaction before summer's over. You're gonna be a senior soon, you need to be a lover. Got to know the ways into the hearts of ladies if you have any hope of someday creating babies. My, how the kids grow up so fast these days. Up so fast these days. Oh, my, how the kids grow up so fast these days. Up so fast these days. We're living in the hip-hop times. Everybody's mother wanna try and spit rhymes. I ain't no brother, I'm a white man. I don't understand exactly how this works. The Turks, they picked up my skirt and they bent me over at first on a tree stump that hurt, until I got my sights set on this filly who's wet, who bent down to pick up sticks with her butt cheek and shit. It was not tight or ripped, but very clean and clipped. So I slipped my dick inside and we made a baby. My, how the kids grow up so fast these days. Up so fast these days. Oh my, how the kids grow up so fast these days. Up so fast these days.
We've had this book called The Quids Book of Questions. The Kids Book of Questions since we've been doing the show. Merle's been the co-host for almost the entire time we had the show. Before that, she had a job. So, she's never answered one of these questions except the first time she did the show. So I wanted to officially kill the book and give Merle the last question. So Merle, pick a number between 227 and 229.
228.
228. If something happened to your parents...
What the hell is with all these parent questions?
The Kids Book of
this
Questions.
This is hard on a child.
Yeah, it is. Ooh. This is Russian literature.
Okay, go ahead.
If something happened to your parents and you had to live with someone else for 2 years, who would you most like to live with?
My cousin Susie in California.
Why?
Because she's a 30-something lady out on the town. She is. She's like the
Wait, so you just want random men taking you to softball games in the zoo? Like, that's your ideal childhood?
No, because... Okay, well, I guess I have to think as a child.
Yeah, that's a roommate. Who do you want to live with now?
No, she would still be the cool one, because she... Yeah.
She'd be 15!
No, because she's like 30... She's more than 37.
Did you hear that audible burp, by the way, from over there in that corner?
So she's more 37, and I'm 28, so there's a bit of a gap there.
Not much. 11 years.
Well, still, she's the cool one, and everyone thought I was her.
So you at 9 years old are going to be living with a 20-year-old. She'll love you for that.
Yeah, well, no, they always, in my family.
You're going to live in a dorm.
She's the black sheep of the family.
That's something to aspire to. Merle, how did you think the show went?
I think it went well.
How did you like bartending during the show?
I was able to, you know, listen. It's not like I'm behind a wall or something. I can hear the speakers.
Look at that dynamic energy we got going back and forth right now.
It's not the same when you're up there sweating balls.
I don't know. Why is everyone sweating balls? What's wrong with people? It's not that hot. I've been up here the whole night. Brad, is it hot?
It's like lukewarm.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad Smith. Sad Brad Smith.
There's a lot of people in here.
There are a lot of people. And I want to thank each and everybody that came out tonight. This is a very fun show. Thank you. We will be back here On August 29th, I'm looking at the calendar right now. We'll be back here on August 29th. Comedy from Think Tank and author Margaret Hicks is going to be on the show. Merle might be behind the bar, but probably on stage. Jeremy will be back again. And Sad Brad Smith's going to play some songs for the room for the podcast. I want to thank Megan. I want to thank Rob. And clap for Sad Brad Smith. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.